Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day to you moms out there. I wanted to get my congratulations in. Glad that you're here this morning. Got a full house. It's good to see everybody. A couple of things. First of all, if you are our guest this morning, especially glad that you're here. And if you are our guest, we invite you. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. And you don't have to do that, but would love for you to fill that out. You can either leave it in your seat, or I will be out in the foyer down at this end at the end of the service, and would love to meet you. And I have a free gift for our guests. And also, that kind of in that direction, how many of you got your picture made this morning? A whole bunch of you. I still see a whole bunch that hasn't. That is our gift to you moms, Mother's Day. We are having pictures available to you down here. She will be out there after the service as well, so if you didn't get that done, right? So we're excited about supplying that for you. And also, so part of that is the Mother's Day gift, and it kind of is an afterthought. It's been a while since we've updated our pictorial directory, and so I thought, hey, we can also utilize those for our pictorial directory. So even if you're not a mom, even if you're not, even if you're here and you're a single, that's okay too. We'd love to have your picture. If you consider Wiley Methodist your home, your church home, we'd love to also have one for the directory. So that will be out there after the worship service. Registration pads going. Register your attendance with us. And if you'll turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I got to say, Anthony, Anthony Inman and Megan's dad and her mom are here. Anthony and I are set to be ordained officially after a 16-year journey here in about 3 weeks. If Anthony doesn't mess it up. And also my DS is here, so George, if our group gets out of line, it was Anthony that did it, okay? I'm just saying.
It was Damon.
In the Methodist Church, there's lots of hoops that you jump through to be fully ordained in the church, and I've been jumping, and Anthony's been jumping. How many years you been jumping, Anthony?
Seven.
But you're a lot smarter than I am, so that's why took me 16. So, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. I will say that again. He redeems our life from the pit. Crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We have invited you, Holy Spirit, to be here and to not just be here, but to speak to us. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak in power and authority in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was kind of a little humor here before I get too deep into the sermon. In honor of mothers everywhere, I want you to see, they found this archaeological find there. My wife inspired that comic, by the way. Just saying. But here, what they didn't say, half the night's like, give me the covers. And the other half is like, get them off of me, I'm hot. And then give me the covers. It's back and forth. But anyway, so that's in honor of you, moms. They found that. They dug that up. All right, so I'm continuing the sermon series today, Hallelujah Living. Hallelujah, meaning praise the Lord. Just, I mean, a life that exemplifies God's praise. That's what we're after. We started, this is day, what day is this? 12, I believe. There's booklets. I'm trying to email these on Monday so you'll have them in your electronically, you'll have them for the week. But each day for 40 days, we have a scripture of praise. And the intent is that we work that into our day. We incorporate praise into our day. You get up in the morning, you read that scripture, make it a prayer. You go to eat lunch, or take a break, you incorporate that prayer, you say it again. You take, for some of you, you take another break, you do that, incorporate that in supper and dinner and bedtime. You just incorporate it into your day. There's some actual physical booklets still out here on our welcome table. And you can grab one of those on the way out if you don't have one already. So, hallelujah living. Today's message is, what does praise look like? What does praise look like? I want us to talk just a second about this psalm. Psalm 103 is attributed to King David. Now, most of us grew up hearing the story of King David and who?
Goliath.
David, as a young boy, the Israeli army was scared to death to take on this giant who was mocking God and mocking the nation of Israel and their army. And David, a young boy, he gets out there and he defeats Goliath. So we understand that, and we know God called him a man after his own heart. So we understand those great things about King David, and he's slaying all of these Philistines, and the people are singing his praises and all these different things. We kind of know that part about David, but David, later in life, was quite a disappointment, wasn't he? Just to kind of give you a little snapshot here, this psalm was probably written in his latter years when he had gone through some of these things in his life. We know him as the slayer of Goliath, the man after God's own heart, but we don't remember that he was also an adulterer. Hello. King David, a man after God's own heart, he was an adulterer. And then he got this woman pregnant, and he tries to cover it up by the husband was gone fighting for him, for the Israeli army, and he calls him back so that he'll spend some time with his wife, and they'll think he got her pregnant. The husband, Uriah, he had so much integrity. He's like, no, I'm not even going to go and be with my wife because the other soldiers are out there fighting, so I'm not going to even go and be with her. So that didn't work. So then David says, okay, he doesn't tell Uriah this, but he sends him to the front lines of where the fighting is fiercest, and he gives instructions for all the other soldiers to withdraw. Sounds like murder to me. I don't know about you. Sounds like murder. So we've got this man who's committed adultery. We've got this man who has murdered. And yet, later in life, if you go on and read the rest of David's story, David finally repented and received God's mercy. That's the heart of the man who this psalm comes out of. This man who knows what it's like to be God's man, he also knows what it's like to be a sinner. I was looking at this psalm a little closer in preparation for today, I ran across a quote, and it's a longer quote, but I'm just going to take one sentence out of it. Pastor and evangelist Charles Spurgeon, great evangelist, there's all kinds of writings. He had this to say about Psalm 103, just a piece of what he said. He said, Psalm 103 is as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, and its golden fruit has such flavor as no fruit ever bears, unless it has been ripened in the full sunshine of mercy. Let that sink in just a second. That fruit is so delicious on this tree. The only way it could have gotten that way is to be ripened in the full measure of sunshine, of mercy. You know, I don't know about anybody else. I'm relating to King David. I'm relating to Charles Spurgeon. So I want us to just take a little closer look at the psalm today and what does praise look like? What does praise look like? Number one, praise isn't always obvious on the outside. It's not always obvious on the outside. Now, let me say this. In our worship, I'm just getting real. It's not really a big secret. We're not a real expressive, I'm saying our whole church, we're not a real expressive congregation in worship. But I've learned something. This doesn't always mean you're worshiping. Sometimes it does. And this doesn't mean you're not worshiping. I have seen men that will stand and a lot of times, in all honesty, sometimes I don't even see their lips moving to the song. But I've seen men that have that posture with tears streaming down their face during a worship song. Something's happening. It's not always obvious on the outside. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, David says, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Something's going on in here. It's not always obvious on the outside. And I shared this with our group Thursday, Anthony, but back in 1996, I just had this memory again. I think I've shared it before, but we were at a Promise Keepers at Texas Stadium that they have now tore down, Texas Stadium, and got to hear Tom Landry speak. I mean, that was cool stuff, man. Tom Landry was a strong man of God, and there were 60,000 plus men at Texas Stadium. And you, man, I don't know, you haven't worshiped until you've just been in the presence of 60,000 men excited about the Lord, singing at the top of their lungs in a stadium. It does something to you. And we're sitting there, and on this particular trip, I had my dad with me, which made it even more special, especially looking back on it now. And we're worshiping, and we're singing these great old songs, and there was a section down on the floor of the stadium that was labeled hearing impaired. And there was a man standing at the front of that group, and there was a few hundred in this section. And there was a man, and he was signing the words of the songs and the words of the speakers to the people in this section. And I thought, that's really cool. So they can participate and enjoy this event. And then we began to worship, and as I said, there was just worship was thick and heavy, and you could feel the Holy Spirit in that place. And I looked down on the floor, and many, if not most, of these men in that hearing impaired section were standing on their chairs, signing like this. I broke. It broke me down to my knee. I just started weeping. And I remember thinking, God, you are the God of all people and of all languages. You are a God worthy of our praise. Even when we can't say it like this, they were saying it in the only way they knew, with their language. God, I praise you with all my soul. Praise isn't always obvious on the outside. Secondly, praise emanates from inside. Now listen to this now. This is important. From inside a changed and grateful heart. Now, you've heard this story from me before, but I remember had a great mom and dad. And love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. We were in church all the time, and they not only talked to us about that, but they showed us how to be a Christ-like person with their lives. And yet, even in the midst of all that, going to church every Sunday, and I was 31 years old, and it's like the best I could come up with is like, well, you're supposed to be a good person. I just missed it. How do you miss it? George, how do you miss it? You go to church for 30 years, and you miss it. God loves you, loves me. I missed it. And man, at the time I was a young man and two little, Kirby was four and Jordan was two. And so I had this new family, and quite honestly, if I had a picture of myself, I'd hold it up right now. That was my priority in life. I just wanted Jeff to be content and happy. And I remember, and so I just, man, only because I had an awesome wife and an awesome God was I not divorced. I wouldn't have put up with me. And I remember just having this encounter with God that I went on a walk to Emmaus, is when for me, and I remember that weekend I had an encounter with God, and I just felt like the Lord, I felt, I think it's Isaiah 6, where Isaiah is, he's standing before the Lord, and he's a man of unclean lips, living with a people of unclean lips. And he just felt, you know, naked before the Lord, and just like he could see right through me. He knows everything I've done, everything I've thought, who I am. And I remember thinking to myself as I'm standing before the Lord in that condition, I remember thinking to myself, you're a wretched man, Jeff Hatcher. And I felt like the Lord, the first half of this I didn't really like. I felt like the Lord was kind of saying to me, yeah, you sure are. You sure are. But right immediately behind that was, but I love you. I love you. You're my precious child. You may be a mess, but I love you, and I hung on a cross for you, and I died for you. And I can't tell you the impact that had on me, that this, the praise now, my praise, I hope my life, it doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I hope my life emanates from the inside, from a changed and grateful heart because of what he's done for me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, David says. This is after he's committed adultery and murder and lying and just all the things that he had done. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What's his benefits? His benefits are he loves us no matter what. He loves us. And we miss that. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, and it's like we, sometimes the church, we're our own worst enemies. Because sometimes all people hear from pulpits and from other Christians is the judgment, the rules, and do this and don't do that. And yes, God wants us to be holy and all of that, and that's important. But where's grace? We're a mess. Maybe you're not a mess. I'm a mess. And we need Jesus. We need his mercy because we're a mess. I've shared this before, but Amazing Grace, that song, it's probably the most well-known Christian song there is, written in 1779 by a man named John Newton. He was a slave ship captain. This guy had done it all. I mean, back in those days, in those ships, they were in horrible conditions and to lay in their own filth. And if one of them died, they just dumped him over the side of the boat. This guy was captain of that, giving his approval to that, until Jesus changed him. Jesus changed him. And then he pens the greatest song, Christian song we probably know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you hear that personal message there? He's talking about himself, but he's also talking about us. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Praise emanates from inside a changed and grateful heart. Let me just say this. If you don't know Jesus that way, it's impossible for you to praise him. You can give it lip service. If you don't know Jesus as this merciful Savior, it's impossible to praise him. Thirdly, praise, I'm just kind of dancing around some of this already. Praise is a response to the goodness of God demonstrated through Jesus Christ. It's a response. Praise. We realize that we're wretched before God. We are unholy. We're unkept, and yet by Him, through Him, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see us clothed in the filthy rags of sin anymore. He sees us adorned with the robe of righteousness of Christ Himself. And so praise is a response to that goodness of God. Verse 3 says, "The Lord forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles." Just reminds me, my father-in-law that we lost in September, he loved eagles. He was a big American guy, service guy, loved eagles. Now, how many would you say he had, Beverly? Hundreds. Yeah. Bunch of eagles everywhere. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. One of the things that we miss so often, as I said, in the church, Romans 2 says it this way, God's kindness, now listen to this, God's kindness leads us to repentance. When we know who God is, that He's holy, and yet He's mindful of me, I know me. He knows me. His kindness leads us towards repentance. That walk to Emmaus that I was talking about in October 1991, I'll never forget it. I came home on a Sunday evening, and like I said, the girls were 2 and 4, and I was a changed man, first of all, and I remember just what I was feeling was just being overwhelmed with the goodness of God and the blessings in my life. I was so overwhelmed. I mean, I could hardly even talk because just weeping because I was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And I remember walking in, and Cheryl thought an alien had abducted me and had occupied my body or something. I don't know what she thought, but I was a different fella. And I came in, and I remember I really just didn't know what to do. I just was so grateful for my family, and I remember just sitting on the couch, and I just gathered them all in. I had Cheryl, and I had Kirby and Jordan, and I just gathered them in, and I just hugged them, and I just wept because of a good and gracious and merciful God and the blessings He had given me. And I remember Kirby looking up at me with those sweet little four-year-old eyes and that sweet little four-year-old voice, and she said, "Daddy, why are you crying?" And I just, all that I could get out was, "Daddy's happy. Daddy's happy." Praise emanates from inside a changed and grateful heart, church. If you don't know Jesus that way, you can't praise Him. I want you so badly to know Him like that. There's people in this room that I know God wants to know you like that. He wants you to know Him like that. And it's not about being good, and it's not about going to church, even though I like it when you're here, and that's important. But it's not about all that stuff. It's about this Savior who, when He had been saying what was fixing to happen in Jerusalem, going up there to suffer and die for you, and on the third day I will rise up. He knows that, and it says he went into Jerusalem leading the way. I don't know why that's sticking out to me these last few months more than ever. He knows what's coming, and He's leading the way. Why? Why would He do that? Because He loves you. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He loves us. Praise is the fruit that's been ripened in the full sunshine of mercy. Praise the Lord, O my soul, because He's worthy. I want to ask Daisy, Smith to come up and offer our benediction. We're getting these girls involved today because they wanted to be involved and bless their moms.
She is clothed in strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Proverbs 31:25-26. Happy Mother's Day. Go and tell someone you are dismissed.
Oh, she stole my line. Don't forget, at the end of the service, please take your picture. If you haven't had a picture made, that's for you moms, but also for our directory that'll be set up out here. And I will also be there to greet our guests. Thank you.